Technorama episode 404 for May the 7th, 2014. Show not found.
Good morning, folks. This is your captain speaking.
Technorama.
Remember when?
Technorama.
On this day in tech history.
Tech.
And now, the news.
Tech.
What the chuck?
Technorama.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Hey, I'm looking for Technorama, but I keep getting a 404 here.
In the media corner.
Stepped all over that one.
Hold my beer and watch this.
Unfasten your seatbelts to disregard all safety rules. Here your flight crew, Chuck and Craig.
Welcome to Technorama for May 7th, 2014. This is the show that takes a lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all things geek. If this is your first time listening, thank you very much for joining us. If you're a returning listener, welcome back. We appreciate giving us your time. I am Chuck Tomasi, and with me is Craig Stepp. How are you, Craig?
Would you like fries with that, sir? I'm doing good, man. I'm actually a little burnt right now.
Didn't the Simpsons did that? They had like a future episode where they're all like 20, 30 years older, and the guy at the restaurant still has a cracking voice. He goes, "Jesus, your voice ever finished changing?"
Yeah, is it ever going to mature? Now, I'm a little burnt though today because I finally we're recording this on Star Wars Day, May the 4th.
Yes,
and I just finished watching A New Hope, Empire, and Return of the Jedi straight in a row.
Wow, you did the trilogy.
Yes.
That's
the original.
That's what Julie and I have been doing since she was a baby, because I used to play that over Christmas and she'd fall asleep. And then I'd have to sit in the comfy chair with her sleeping on me and watch the whole trilogy.
Yes. And it was fun. I did take a break for dinner.
Maybe Susie Murph should do that on How to Grow Your Geek. Start young.
Yeah. Start them young. Although, you know what? No, I was the only one that watched them.
That's just sad.
I know. My brother-in-law breezed in, and he watched for about, 40 minutes or so, most of Empire.
And then he leaves and goes, "He's at it again. Call therapy." Yeah.
So Harrison he's not really into Star Wars, and that's fine. I was hoping he would at least watch it with me tonight.
That's it. He's out of the will.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Wait till he finds that out.
Let's find out what we have in this show. Coming up, we have email etiquette. Again, with the future predictions. Hoy! E.T. taken from his home. I read that article.
Are you going to sit inside scared of that terrorist might attack your city? Or are you going to go out and live your life? Look, up in the sky. Is it a bird? Is it a plane? We've got our own superhero in the studio. We have Steve Murawski.
I'm not a lawyer. I'm not a police officer. I'm a guy who's read a lot of law.
Oh my goodness.
I've read a lot of legal opinions, and I've read a lot of case law.
You know, he's a bodybuilder. He carries around like a collapsible baton.
Pepper spray, oleo, resin, capsicum, handcuffs, and the radio.
He's got some interesting gadgets on him.
I'm a member of our police auxiliary.
He looks like a human bullet here. Kind of a cross between Batman and the Tin Man from The Wizard of Oz.
There's one little interesting bit here. A shoplifter came running past me, and I managed to throw him to the ground.
I was intimidated by this guy. I was fearful for my life.
You don't want to mess around with a Marine and martial artist.
When you're talking about use of force, if I go and just walk up to somebody and break their kneecap, possibly something more severe, I'm covered by the city for liability.
It looks kind of like he's spoiling for a fight.
Somewhere in the realm of disorderly conduct.
You're not going out in that, are you?
Does it have a rainbow on the front or anything?
How many times have you heard that?
Then I'm in trouble.
Terrific. Yeah.
Your opinion of that is based on what you just saw.
Excuse me, sir. What do you think of Technorama?
Technorama? It's awesome, and it won an award!
On this day in history for May 7th, 2014, This is May 7th. It's the 0x7F day of the year in the Hexagorian calendar. There are 0xEE days remaining in 2014. I had to do that just because the numbers worked out.
Yeah.
It was on this date in 1718 that the city of New Orleans is founded.
And that same date in 1864, the world's older surviving clipper ship, the City of Adelaide, was launched by William Pyle Hay and Company, in Sunderland, England, for transporting the goods between, or never mind, passengers and goods between Britain and Australia. I'll finish it one day.
Today in 1895 in St. Petersburg, Russia, scientist Alexander Stepanovich Popov demonstrates Russian Physical and Chemical Society his invention, the Popov Lightning Detector, a primitive radio receiver. In some parts of former Soviet Union, the anniversary on this day is celebrated as Radio Day.
Yeah, I'm not going to do a Japanese impression here. Tokyo Telecommunications Engineering, later named Sony, which is a much catchier name, is founded with around 20 employees today in 1946.
Oh, I bet you were wish you were one of those first 20 employees.
Yeah. Yes.
The concept of the integrated circuit, the basis for all modern computers, is first published by Jeffrey W.A. Dummer. Dumber and Dumb and Dumber. 62 years ago today.
And it was on this date in 1992, the Space Shuttle Endeavour is launched on its first mission, STS-49.
And today in 1998, Mercedes-Benz buys Chrysler for $40 billion and forms Daimler-Chrysler in the largest industrial merger in history. Happy birthday goes out of this day to Russian composer Pyotr Ilyich Tchaikovsky, born on this day in 1840.
Oh, where's my line? Oh, also wait. Also born today in 1901, actor, singer Gary Cooper.
Singer? Okay. And the co-founder of the Polaroid Corporation, scientist and inventor Edwin H. Land, would have been 105 today. Remember the Polaroid Land camera?
Yeah.
His name. Not because it was not waterproof. It was because it was his name.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Gotcha.
Catch that? Yeah. And that's the way it was. Camera. On this day in history for May 7th, 2014, take us out, marching band.
Hey, by the way, you can see it from this angle.
Yes.
Some of my art up there. You can see some photographs I have.
I see a shoe and a beer.
That's my brother.
The beer is your brother?
Hey, hold on. Let's see. This is my brother's foot.
Now he's trying to do that weatherman thing if you can't see this on the podcast.
Yeah.
And high pressure is moving in from the west. That'll cause bright sunny weather over this shoe.
This shoe. What was that you did one time on the internet weather report or traffic report and had a backup on the router? Router 32 or whatever it was.
You have to stick some of those shorter. You should repurpose our intros as like drop-ins in the show. Because a lot of people have not heard those.
You know what? I'm going to commit. I'm going to have an intro at the beginning of the next show.
All right. You do that.
Yeah.
You have 1 week. I'm committing. I have work stuff to work on. That's, you saw the script. It's kind of like doing intros for work now.
Yeah, I know. I was looking through it and I was like, oh, okay, all right, yeah.
He's successfully
just having fun.
He's successfully taking Technorama to work.
You're just having fun at work. Yeah, that's pretty much right.
That's my job now. I have the greatest job in the world.
That was the good news, I think.
That is awesome news. Hey, you know, if you want to work for us, there's still plenty of opportunity. If you've got a technical background, give me a call. Send me an email.
Wait a minute. No, call me.
Yeah, I know why.
No. Call me.
Yeah, call me. There's a referral fee. That's what we're fighting over now.
No. Me. Yeah, we'll have to split it if it comes to the Technorama.
All right. NASA has their next prototype spacesuit, and it's all thanks to you.
Now, remember, we were following, this is a follow-up story on
the outfits
that Tron, I started to say Tron was trying to sign on.
No.
NASA was trying to sign on.
So, NASA's next prototype suit is a brand new look. After 233,000 total votes were cast for the, quote, technology option, has won NASA's Z2 spacesuit design challenge with just over 63% of the total vote. The design now will be incorporated into the final version of the suit, which is expected to be ready for testing in November 2014. NASA's Z2 suit is the newest prototype in its next-generation spacesuit platform, the Z-Series. With the agency laser-focused on a path to Mars, work to develop the technologies astronauts will one day will be used to work and live on Mars. The work has already begun. Each iteration of the Z-Series will advance new technologies that one day will be used in a suit worn by the first humans to step foot on the red planet. Is this for real? Did you find an old April Fool's thing hanging around?
No, this is on NASA's website, dated April 30th, 2014.
Come on, this looks like Gort's summer wear. He's got shorts.
Actually, I love the picture. He looks like he's got his hands on his hip, like he's surveying his new land on some alien world.
This is my land, and I shall take it.
It is a good land. We will call it this land.
Yeah. No, this is real. This is for real, man.
Really? Okay.
I think it doesn't look functional.
It's not a fashion statement, that's for sure. He's got shorts.
Well, it's like if it's really on, you're on a hot planet, they can zip them off. They can zip them off and wear shorts.
Do the sleeves snap off too?
Yeah.
It's like a VW thing for space astronauts.
Yeah.
Oh, my. I don't know what to make of that, but I'm glad you found that. That made my day. Oh, wait. No, there's more.
Okay.
The E.T. story. All right.
Oh, yes.
We're all familiar with the 1980s film E.T. the Extraterrestrial by Steven Spielberg.
Now, I know that this story has been around at least for, what, a week and a half, or about a week?
Okay.
And it's been back and forth, but I figured...
I didn't see it. This is the first I heard of it.
Well, I thought this was one of those stories that if we didn't talk about it at all, we wouldn't be doing our job.
That's right, because this just screams Technorama. So if you've already heard the story, which I didn't, I was laughing.
Oh, you hadn't?
Now, I think we can all agree that E.T. on the Atari 2600 was one of the worst video games ever.
I know. Right? I didn't get the point to it, yes.
Yeah, I mean, it was terrible. It was hard to play. He's popping up in and out of holes, collecting the Reese's Pieces. Of course, the graphics were nothing to write home about. But, you know, even as far as the games on the 2600 went, this was pitiful. I mean, I think that ranks right up there with the Journey game, where they were just trying to market the band.
Yeah, that's right. Yes, I remember that.
Okay. When electronics pioneer Atari rushed a game based on the 1982 Hollywood blockbuster to market for its then-dominant home consoles, it was a flop. Compounded by the fact that the infant industry was hitting its first slump at the time. So Atari literally buried the project. Now, a lot of people use literally when they should have mean figuratively. No, they literally buried this project, dumping truckloads of unsold games in a desert landfill in New Mexico. And amid a decade of entertainment industry disasters bookended by the movie Heaven's Gate and Milli Vanilli, the E.T. game quickly faded into urban legend. Right, you say? Right. No, really. And over the weekend, a couple of hundred onlookers watching excavators led by a documentary film crew began to unearth stacks of 30-year-old Atari cartridges from a landfill outside Alamogordo. Urban legend confirmed. Larry Herb, one of the creators of Microsoft's Xbox gaming platform. What was Xbox doing there?
Because of the video game background, I'm sure, they were funding a documentary. And the documentary is going to talk about, I guess, the background of the game. I mean, I don't know how much more you can talk about this, but
it seems like they give it to National Geographic. You know what they do? They take 10 minutes of content and stretch it into an hour long show, because every time they go to commercial break, they have to tell you what they covered up until that commercial break.
Yeah. Well, that's like the, I love the Mythbusters, but they do that sometimes. They come back commercial break. So the boys are doing this, and they go kind of step through what they've already told you.
Yeah. Just rewind your DVR and come back. Right.
So I was thinking
14 truckloads, 750,000 of these cartridges were poured in the landfill, and they went and dug them up. Unfortunately, none of them work, but the cardboard was still intact because there's no oxygen, so the bacteria can't deteriorate the paper, and all our landfills are a failure.
Wait a minute. How can you say they all the cartridges you can't play?
Are you going to stick them in there? One? Nope. Didn't work.
You test them all?
Nope. 750,000 later. I got one. And what would you do if it did work? Oh, this game sucks.
Right. Crack. We got to make sure they don't work.
Put a bullet through it.
Yes. Well, by the way, you were talking about we were mentioning how can they stretch this into a documentary. You know, I think I could see one scene where they're in the, they're getting the permit to dig. sign this paper. Okay. I don't know.
Yeah. So the games were found. There are some pictures on the website, on the show notes that we've provided. So
yeah, I included a picture.
That's pretty cool.
An article at Engadget, and they actually had photos, a few photos to kind of illustrate it.
I like the one of the menu. It says Atari ET Dig. Choice of sliders, pick two, and your choice of fry. Slider options, green chili, chaos bacon, pick regular or garlic fries. What, they don't have any Reese's Pieces on here? And
they did not have like Cokes and whatever it was, ET8.
They included
Reese's Pieces.
They included a graphic from the old game, and the E.T. at first glance, as I'm reading the words, he looks like a QR code gone wrong.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Look at him, man. As you're just glancing through the text of that message, you see this green blob.
Yeah.
He doesn't look right. I'm sorry.
Yeah. By the way, I think Reese's Pieces missed an opportunity here.
Why is that? Oh, to show up at the dig?
Yeah, that's right.
Nice.
Hey, I did read one article where they talked to the developer of the game, and he talked about how he was at peace really now, because even if the game was turned out horrible,
yeah,
he was at peace with that, because obviously there were a lot of people that still cared about it on some level because of the people that turned out, and everybody was having a good time while they were there and all that. And I was like, well, if you got to look for a bright side of this sad story.
I suppose. He's made a name for himself like Charlie Manson.
By the way, that green QR code is E.T. You know that, right?
Yeah, I know. That's what E.T. looked like on the video game. But as I'm scanning through, they're like, what is that, a QR code? Oh, it's E.T. Yeah. That's a horrible graphic. But, you had very limited, pixels back then.
What's funny is they're digging, and if you look in the trash, I see Breakout, a box of Breakout. I saw a picture of
Indiana Jones or something.
Yeah, the instruction book for Raiders Lost Ark or something like that.
Wow. They tried everything back then, didn't they?
Man, yes. It got to the point where anything came out for the 2600.
Yeah, like I said, the Journey game, right up there.
I played the Pac-Man game a good bit, but it was just totally different from the arcade. The only thing that was similar was they had a yellow blob eating dots.
It was hard to control. It was nothing like the arcade game.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It was only in name only.
Yeah, the maze was different.
The dots were dashes.
Now you're doing Morse code. I don't know.
Yeah, doop, doop, doop. Yeah, it was kind of funny. It was sad.
All right.
Some of the games were good. Actually, I thought Activision did a better job at some of their games than Atari did.
Activision and Intellivision, too.
Intellivision?
In Intellivision, we've talked about console games of the 80s before. Intellivision
you're talking about that They also say they didn't make any Atari games.
No, no. They made their own console, and they had a much better basketball. I remember the commercials where they compared them side by side. Let's move along.
The controller sucked. That's what did them in.
Oh, on the television. Yeah, the controller sucked.
With the number pad with a... No.
With like a click wheel kind of thing.
Yeah, and that's the same kind of thing that... was it Coleco? It's a Coleco and the Atom computer. Oh, they had that controller. Right. Like
we
that.
Have a new segment in the show, just for this show, 404, because this one's not found anyway. If you're listening to this, I don't know where you got it, but it wasn't from our server. Yeah.
Okay.
The segment is for a PSA, and Craig found this on theoatmeal.com, and they have, if you do this in an email, I hate you. This is a list of things you should not do. And maybe we should send this to manager tools or something, because these are things you should not do.
That's right.
One of these mails says, hey, Matt, I've attached a 30-page document which I need you to download, print, sign, and fax back to me ASAP. Thanks, Bill. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then they say, in other words, hey, Matt, would you mind sailing the Mayflower back to Spain and signing this parchment with a quill? We don't have enough web forms in ancient land where I come from, and every nobleman must complete an obnoxious task of riding a majestic steed across the lands to deliver a signed word document to prove his valor. Thanks, Lord Jimmers. Yeah.
Lord Jimmers. It's funny. Hey, by the way, being a new employee going through the new hire orientation, I did get an email like that. It said, please, can you fax this back? And I was like, can I just email it back?
Sure,
no problem.
Yeah, we got some of that when we were doing our house deal. It's like, really? We have to fax a wire transfer?
I was sitting there going, I was actually trying to figure out how to go about faxing at this point.
You can take a picture and then you can do an email to fax thing. It's totally stupid.
Cam Scanner, I don't know if you've used it. I use it on Android. Cam Scanner will scan, you can scan documents with it, and if you pay for the service, but you can fax through the Cam Scanner service.
Yeah, there's lots of difference. I like this one. I hate your email signature.
Oh, yeah.
And there's like two lines of text. Hey, just wanted to say thanks for all your help yesterday. I had no idea that rebooting would fix my Twitters. And then it's got her name, her title, her founder of this, engager of that, an image. Then it's got a URL, office number, mobile number, fax number, beeper number, pet gerbil's phone number, Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, the company address, and then a big long biblical phrase from Ecclesiastes.
That's right.
Live life passionately and love everyone like they are family, because Jesus is always with you. Jesus loves you seriously, big time. That doesn't sound like
Ecclesiastes. Right.
That's the way I read Sunday school stories to my kids.
Big time.
So these guys are walking down the road, right?
Yeah, right.
And they're like, dude, Jesus just died. That's terrible. I'm bummed.
Yeah.
And then my favorite is like the 18-line disclosure statement. The information in this email is confidential. If its contents are disclosed, our lawyers will swoop down from helicopters and smash through the skylight nearest you and drag you away with a black bag over your head. And it just goes on from there. It's great.
Yeah. What was the other one I think I've had? I think we've all had happen before. Oh, yeah. The email does not equal FTP.
Oh,
yes.
And
the email reads, hey, all these photos of all the photos that my wife took of me water skiing with the cat are rotated sideways. Could you rotate them properly and email them back?
And the size of the zip file attachment is like 4.5 gig.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Yes, people really do this. And of course, there's the one from 10% off all pantaloons this Friday. Dear shopper, this Friday we are discounting all of our marvelous pantaloons by 10%. If you ever considered owning a marvelous pair, now is the time to act. Just enter the discount code, give me your pantaloons to receive your discount. And of course, there's an unsubscribe button, which you must click. And when you click it, it goes to a login page.
Yeah. Hey, Here's the other one that annoys me sometimes is the emails that they decorate.
Oh my goodness. It's like I've yellow. I've got
plenty of them with Comic Sans and stuff
Comic
like that.
Comic Sans, yellow text, pink background, stars, pictures of a kitty. It says, "Hi, I really like your face. It's like a mashed potato of cuteness, and it makes me gurgle with tee-hees every time I see it. We should totes go get a soda sometimes. Tee-hee, burp, gurgle, tee-hee. See, I did it again. Mega burps because I like you, Christy. Thanks, Christy. Actually, I am now putting you on my spammer list."
Here, I should actually share that. There you go. Just to
show. No, please don't. It hurts. It hurts. It hurts. My retinas are bleeding now.
Your retinas are bleeding. But yes, that is terrible. I've gotten plenty of emails that had like this, Comic Sans, and I had a background. And
oh, yeah.
You know, because you can do HTML email, doesn't mean you should.
Right. Please, please don't.
Yes, the Matthew over here at the Oatmeal is a genius.
Mattel Made in Television. Thank you, R2D Tim. We're almost to the chat room thing. I'll clue you in on what that is. Right now, we have to go to the birthday listener calendar, and I am going to make up for last week because I wasn't here. I was on the road.
I was here.
Craig was here, all by his lonesome, waiting for a hangout to start that nobody joined.
No,
he sits here every week at 9:30 Eastern, every Sunday night, like Seymour the dog in front of.
Yeah. After a while, I'm just kind of laying there.
So happy birthday, April 30th to Julio Diaz, a.k.a. Julio Tijuana. And we love you, man. April 30th is also the birthday of my childhood friend who's no longer with us. May 3rd is K.L. Wright and Leon. Happy birthday to both of you. May 5th is Joe Michowski.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, close enough. Host of On the Podcast.
Wait, I got the ding bell.
Ding bell.
Wait a minute. Yeah. Hold on, it's redirecting. Is he still doing the podcast?
Oh, no.
I get a blank page.
Oh, 404. How appropriate.
Actually, I know Joe in person to see if
we have what he's doing. Three birthdays. Count them. Three birthdays on May 6th. Amber Pace, not really a listener, but mother and wife of listeners. So she has to suffer through it in the car.
So let's see. So if you're the person that put this in here, remember to get them a gift.
Yeah, it's mom's birthday in like 2 days. Or if you're listening to this when it comes out, too late.
Oops.
Bill Barber. Happy birthday to you and Steve Bickle, also on the 6th. Curtis Parrish is on the 8th. And coming up on May 12th, yes, we have those kinds of listeners who like to hack our wiki and put in things like, May 12th is Amanda Huggenkiss. I'm looking for Amanda Huggenkiss. I think I do that every year.
I'm looking for Mac Aroni.
Does anybody know a huge ass? Is there a huge ass here?
My name is Huge Jass.
Yeah.
If you want to be on the Technorama birthday calendar, go to our wiki at www.chuckchat.com/wiki, and we would love to see you and call out your name, even if it is Huge Jass. We'll call you out at the right time of year. We are going to take a quick break.
We'll scan it next week.
Yeah. You know it's coming.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to get like the Simpsons Collective scattered throughout the year just so people can laugh.
Right.
We're going to take a quick break. We will be right back with Remember When, where we have even more older stuff than E.T. in a dump. That's just fun to say.
Technorama, now available in HG. High Geekinition. See the amazing sounds in blazing 4D Cinescope.
Hear the high pixel count sound in widescreen.
All available in 1080G.
1 million geeksels in every direction.
Hey, Pardon me, ma'am. What do you think of Technorama?
What's Technorama?
Hey, Chuck.
In...
I got a question for you.
Yeah, what's the question?
I got a question for you. You think after all this time, all these predictions, that we'd have our future pretty much paved out by now?
Well, somebody would get something right sooner or later. And we make such a big deal when one person gets one prediction right. Like, oh my gosh, Arthur C. Clarke predicted telecommunications satellites. But
oh, Nostradamus predicted a fire in my backyard and it totally happened.
No, that was because you forgot to use too much lighter fluid on the charcoal. That's easy to predict.
Hey, that was my wife telling me not to light it.
Right. So we have five predictions from the future that aren't so new after all. Today, which was a few days ago, if you're listening to this podcast, and a few more days ago, because it takes time for us to gather up all this news and collect it into a podcast form. Today, the New York Times asked seven entrepreneurs and tech executives about what's in store for the future. It's a fascinating snapshot of futurist thinking in 2014. But these aren't just dreams of tomorrow. Most of them are dreams of yesterday's tomorrows as well. This isn't to say that all of these predictions are doomed to fail. In fact, most of them seem quite plausible. But it's important to put them in historical context anytime we're prognosticating. I can read. Nobody can predict the future with absolute certainty, and that's actually what makes futurism so fun. So below, we've taken some sample of the 2014 predictions published at the New York Times and dropped in a few similar predictions from history. Honestly, this list doesn't even begin to scratch the surface, but it's a reminder that we've been promised many of these things before. Well, yes. Right at the end of the music. That was kind of cool.
Yeah.
What far-off technology will be commonplace in a decade? So in 2014, we say, personalized medicine. Imagine a unique drug that's printed for you and your condition based on your individual gene sequencing. That was from Reid Hoffman. However, about 17 years ago, it says, around 2012, a gene therapy for cancer is perfected. 5 years later, almost one-third of the 4,000 known genetic diseases can be avoided through genetic manipulation. And that was an issue of Wired magazine, back when it used to be in print.
Yeah. Is it still, it's not in print anymore?
I'm not sure. Does anybody read print magazines anymore? Except SkyMall magazine on the airplanes?
SkyMall. Yeah.
Which industry will put tech out of business next?
Now, look, go backwards on this.
Okay.
Start with 1935, because I think that one is pretty telling right there.
Where'd you see the 1935 one?
Under which industry will tech put out of business?
All right, we'll do them backwards. Yeah. 1935. We will undoubtedly have lectures of every conceivable kind present to us right in our homes when practical television arrives.
Possibly a year or two off.
Mathematics, geometry, and dozens of other subjects will be apple pie so far as broadcasting them through the air by radio is concerned. When television is available for the purpose, compared to the present situation, when it is quite impractical to attempt giving lectures on geometry or other subjects, which really require diagrams or pictures to be made to make them clear to the uninitiated.
Hey, think about that. That was spot on. Although
that's awesome.
You can't. Yeah, I mean, we got lectures now. A lot of them can be in podcast form or live online. I mean, we do that with Harrison.
So where is the Geometry Channel?
That one I don't know.
I woke up one day when Julie was really little. She was not quite adjusted. And, you know, when kids are first born, they have to develop a sleep schedule, a normal sleep schedule.
Yeah.
Well, she wasn't quite there yet and got up at like 4 or 5 in the morning. So I turned on public television and they had some dude doing math. Like, wow, Sunday morning at 5 a.m. You've got the prime time slot here, buddy.
It was like Matt Damon and, you know, doing math on the board. And they forgot to turn the camera off.
All right. What technology will seem antiquated in a decade? From 1982, You'll be, quote, talking to your stove, talking to your door lock, talking to everything. Isn't that the Gary Busey commercial now for Amazon Fire TV?
Yeah.
Hello,
Thank
lamp.
You, fish.
That is a messed up commercial, but it is funny. Hello, pants.
Yeah. But that is funny. That was pretty close. I mean,
1993. Have you ever opened doors with the sound of your voice? And 1996, pockets will rarely jingle in 10 years as credit card sized smart cards will begin to replace cash as well as keys.
Oh, that's so there.
Well, we haven't quite got rid of the keys, right? But the prediction in 2014 is still keys.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's coming. Hey, you can get Bluetooth adapters for your door. You can just...
Okay.
It's and coming.
If the batteries go out, then what?
Well, you still use a key.
What's the next issue to undergo a sea change in social acceptance? What is a sea change? S-E-A.
Fish will be twittering.
1914. 1914. As animal food will have been wholly abandoned before the end of this century, the debris of the kitchen will be much more manageable than at present. Boy, they wrote great back then, didn't they?
I know. You know, I tried to read some old stories from like Astonishing Sci-Fi or one of those old magazines where the magazine's it's out of print, of course, and it's free to download. Boy, those were hard to read.
Wouldst thou cleanest thy kitchen, verily?
Yeah.
Okay, 1982. You will definitely see this returning to more humane, human scale society. It will be more efficient and do things locally. It won't make sense to buy Wonder Bread baked in Illinois. Whatever.
I don't know about that.
And again in 2014, we'll reject factory animal farming. So we're not really guessing new things here.
Yeah.
Next question. What is tech's role in reducing income inequality?
Paying their CEOs out of the wazoo.
Yeah, we won't get into that. That was on account of the 80s. I don't know what happened, but my DVR still has television shows from a year ago. And they I forget what channel it was. Maybe it was the History Channel. They had a series called The 80s, and they talked about when CEOs' salaries went kablooey. That was during the 80s. It was a fun show. There's like a series of five of them, and I've watched three of them again so far.
It sounds hilarious.
That's because there was nothing else on. I had to go back a year in the DVR.
Oh, so your fun is relevant.
No, the 80s are timeless.
Yes, they are.
Okay, 1997. By about 2000, the United States economy is doing so well that the tax coffers begin to swell.
Yeah.
This not only solves the deficit problem, but gives the government ample resources to embark on new initiatives. No longer forced into nitpick over which government programs to cut, political leaders emerge with new initiatives to help solve seemingly intractable social problems, like drug addiction.
Yeah.
And we still have Nancy Reagan. Just say no. In 2014, there is a bow wave of uncounted billions of dollars of philanthropic contributions that will unfold over the next 10 to 20 years from Silicon Valley. No, the rich people are keeping their own money with a few exceptions, and they buy $19 million homes. That doesn't sound so philanthropic to me, does it to you?
No, it doesn't sound like they're reducing any income inequality.
Inequity, yeah. More.
Both. Yeah.
All right, let's go on to more future predictions. We have an infographic from thisisn'thappiness.com. That's a great website name.
Yeah, thisisn'thappiness.com.
A history of books that forecast the future. And of course, there's the usuals, Jules Verne's, and H.G. Wells, and some of the things they predicted, like Gulliver's Travels by Jonathan Swift. Mars has two moons. He predicted this in 1735, and 142 years later,
It was discovered that Mars has two moons. How did he
That's
know?
That's amazing.
That one's incredible. Now, here's another one. Jules Verne, from Earth to the Moon. He predicted lunar modules launched from Florida return as splashdown capsules. What happened? Yeah, you guessed it. 1969, 184 years later. Outstanding. He also had some other ones about submarines and, of course, skywriting in the year, in the book, in the year 2889. And video chatting, which he called the phonotelephote.
I think that's more Chikashier than a cell phone.
I think Skype did it better.
Skype, yeah.
Okay, but that was 75 years ahead of its time. HGLs, when the sleeper wakes, predicted automatic motion sensing doors. We have them on Star Trek. Shh, shh, right?
At the grocery store.
At the grocery store. You got it. Edwin Balmer and William McHarg in The Achievements of Luther Trant predicted lie detector tests 14 years ahead of their time. Now, this one seems to be a copy and paste issue. Where was it? It was down. Oh, let's see if I can find it real fast. Population and first bionic transplant was 41 years ahead of its time. Oh, can I find it fast enough? Or am I? Oh, here we go. The City and the Stars by Arthur C. Clarke. He predicted immersive virtual reality video games in 1956. This was 10 years ahead of its time, because in 1966, we had the first visual flight simulator invented. Robert Heinlein, in the book Stranger in a Strange Land, predicted waterbeds. However, the infographic goes on to say, in 1971, we had the first visual flight simulator invented.
Like, yeah.
I was scanning through these, and I went, what the heck do waterbeds have to do with flight simulators?
Yeah, how does that? What? Huh? It's like, somebody messed up there. You're right.
It's a copy and paste. Error.
Oh, from the previous one. Yeah.
Right. That one threw me off. But there are a whole bunch of them in here. Thank you very much, Craig. This was very entertaining. And
it was.
Like we said, some people get it right and some people just rehash the past, as we heard in the previous one.
Or cut and paste it.
Or, copy and paste it. We also have a letter from. Was this from NASA? Where did this come from?
No, this is the letter to Neil deGrasse Tyson.
This is the letter, but where was this posted?
Well, the article I got here was it's on the Mars Initiative. They have a Google account. Anyway, they reposted this, and it's basically the letter that Carl Sagan wrote Neil, inviting him up to the school to. You know, to give him a private tour, that kind of thing.
If you've been watching Cosmos, you know that Neil and Carl crossed paths back in the 70s when Neil was still like finishing high school, which I think is awesome. Yeah. So Sagan writes him a letter in November of 75 and says, "Dear Neil," should I do this in my best Carl Sagan?
Dear Neil. Yeah. Kind of like a Shatner.
Dear Neil, thanks for your letter. And most interesting resume. It was especially glad. Excuse me. That's what happens when you
read.
Whining.
Just read it.
I was especially glad to see that for a career in astronomy, you intend to do your undergraduate work in physics. In this way, you will acquire the essential tools for a wide range of subsequent astronomical endeavors. Astronomical.
It's a new word. He was inventing words.
Billions and billions of them, apparently. I would guess from your resume that your interests in astronomy are sufficiently deep and your mathematical and physical background sufficiently strong that we could probably engage you in real astronomical research due to your undergraduate career here. During your undergraduate career here. I'm not doing so well with this. If the possibility interests you. For example, we hope to be bringing back the Ithaca in late calendar 76, an enormous array of Viking data on Mars, both from the orbiters and from the landers. I remember the Viking missions.
Yeah, those were cool.
I'm apparently a little younger than Neil.
Yeah, you may be. Yeah.
I would be delighted to meet you when you visit Ithaca. Please try and give us as much advance notice of the date as you can, because my travel schedule is quite hectic right now, and I really would like to be in Ithaca when you drop by. With all good wishes, Carl Sagan. So then Tyson writes back a wee bit later. Apparently postal mail was a little slower back then. Or he procrastinated and needed to think.
That's why we invented email.
Or he just wanted to piss off Carl because he said, give me as much advance notice as we can, because he waited until late April 1976. Dude,
oh, yeah.
That's like five months later.
Well, maybe snail mail was that slow from Ithaca. Okay, boys, let's deliver it now.
He writes back, dear Professor Sagan, thank you for your offer concerning the Viking missions. After long thought and decision-making, I have chosen to attend Harvard University this September. I chose it, because of its valuable name, but because they have a larger astronomy department in addition to the Smithsonian Astrophysical Observatory. So, while I'm majoring in physics, I will have more surrounding me in the way of ongoing research in astronomy. I want to say that I did enjoy meeting you and am very grateful for your hospitality when I got snowed in and the time you spent with me while at Cornell. I will, throughout my undergraduate years, keep you informed on any noteworthy news concerning astronomy-related work that I'm involved in case there's another job.
So if I find something interesting, I'll rub it in your face.
I do. And taking over your job in 2014.
Yeah.
I do plan to apply again for the Viking internship next summer. Thanks again, Neil D. Tyson. Oh, he didn't yet get the DeGrasse spelled out.
Yeah. There was probably another Neil D. Tyson somewhere.
A famous one. No. Yeah. No, wait. I told you about the Robot Wars story from Thanksgiving, right? We went back into the source code, and apparently Scott Reynolds, me, and Bill Helwig were spelling out our complete legal names in the comments of the code.
Oh,
so yeah, we've gone the other way. We should have stayed with the full legal name.
Yeah, maybe just to be clear.
Maybe we'd be important now.
Well, let's don't talk crazy now.
I said maybe. Maybe it'd be important. All right, we got to wrap this up. We're going on 50 minutes, and we got one more in the Geek Thoughts, or the Geek Library. We haven't played a Geek Thoughts in a while.
No.
We should do another one of those. In the Geek Library, we have these stunning still life photos will take you back to the future. And I went through, and I said, man, I got some of these in my house. This is crazy scary. And I'm supposed to be cleaning the house for the big move. It's not working. Okay.
Not working.
First picture is a reel-to-reel tape deck. Thankfully, I don't have one of those right now, but I'm sure some of our listeners do.
I love these things. The TAC was so nice.
Next one is the electric typewriter. I love the Coronet typewriter, but I was more of an IBM Selectric person with that speed ball on it. That was fun. Next one down is the rotary phone. I do not have any of these in my house at the moment. But
hey, by the way, I like these are animated GIFs. And
they are. So the handset jiggles when the phone rings. And you know what really bites? I found this out. Do you know why the large cities always had the low area codes? Like New York was 212, Chicago was 312. Do you know why?
Was that where the phones were originally put?
No, like, it's because the most people live there. They were faster to dial on a rotary phone. There was less rewind time.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So what does the Upper Peninsula of Michigan get? 9. 0. 6. Like, holy crap. And we got like 0803 for a phone number.
I figured it was like in the order they rolled it out or something like that.
No. The big cities got the low area codes because they were fast. Now, all area codes back in the day used to be 2-1. It was like the 200s, but it was only the second set of decimal points. So 210 to 219.
Mm-hmm.
There were no area codes like 358 or 8199. There were Those area codes didn't exist. It was only when mobile phones came along and started going, we're running out of phone numbers.
Did they ever really?
Okay, slide projectors. Oh, the slide projector. And the comments on these things are brilliant because they bring back, they evoke such great memories. I like this one. It says, my father was a pretty serious amateur photographer and always shot slide film. So when we'd have these great slideshows of fall foliage or his travels, they all just glowed and it was mesmerizing. The dim lights, the hum of the projector, the smell of the fan, the colors. Like you can smell that bulb heat coming out of that fan. That was awesome.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's pretty cool.
I do not have a projector, but I did scan all of my dad's slides a few years ago with a digital camera. The Super 8 film projector. So if you see any Throwback Thursday things and they have this like cardboard frame around them, that's the actual cardboard frame. It's not an Instagram effect. The Super 8 film projector.
Okay.
Didn't have a Super 8. Wish I did.
Oh, you mean on your pictures, by the way?
Yeah. Like when I show
the ones that you're posting.
Yeah, when I show a birthday picture on Facebook.
The board, I got you.
You'll know it's real because it's slightly crooked.
Yeah.
The brick phone. Ooh, baby. The 8-inch floppy disks. I had a few of these, not many. I didn't have a computer to run them on, but I had them as collectibles.
Yeah, those were kind of out or going out. I've only seen a drive for them a couple times.
Oh, yeah. The Chrome M.
I remember seeing a disk going, oh, my God.
Then we get down into the stuff that's still in my basement or computer bag or boxed up and heading to Phoenix. Punch cards.
Yeah, punch cards.
I pulled these out at our conference last week. Somebody wasn't taking me seriously that I was really that old. Punch cards have been in service for over 100 years and in my bag about as long. We're responsible for Y2K, caused a presidential election to go sideways. It's a piece of cardboard with holes in it that controlled machinery. Amazing. 5 1/4-inch floppy disks. Plenty of these left.
I think Kodak must have sold a ton of discs because I've seen that label a million times.
Really? I was more of a Verbatim guy.
I personally did like Verbatim, but I just remember seeing, you know, a lot of Kodaks floating around.
Only when I first started, I didn't know how to pronounce the name and I thought it was Verbatim.
There's your chat handle.
That'll be Tim's chat handle next week.
I'm Verba-Tim. There you go.
3 1/2-inch floppy disks. Yeah, I got a few of these left, as many as I threw out during this cleaning process. 7-inch vinyl records. Not only the 7s, but the 12s and the 10-inch 78s. Got a few of those.
Yeah.
78s are really flippin' fragile.
Really? Actually, mom and dad have one, but they feel kind of thick.
They are thick, but they're brittle as all get out. Donna had several of them. Mario Lanza and some Christmas songs and whatnot. And she like just, they slipped out of her car and shattered.
Oh
yeah. Just a few of them. She had a collection of about 4 and 2 of them got broke. The micro cassettes. I have a few of these left too.
I hate those.
Why is that?
Within the last few months, at my old job, somebody had used a microcassette recorder to record a deposition.
Yes.
Well, they sent it up to me, or basically up to me, up to our office from Charleston up to Charlotte, to have them digitally transcribed. So I had to put them. All I had was an old. They sent the recorder with the tapes. I'm like,
yeah.
Are you serious? Why don't we just use your phone, you know? But this is how I had to do it. I had to take the H2, which I got one right here, H2. I had to take the H2, put it in a box with the recorder, hit play, and close the box to make a recording.
Kind of audio out, Jack?
I don't have any cables to do that. No, because the microcassette recorder had used that little tiny... Not a 1/4-inch. I mean,
you should have called me. I could have played these and recorded them for you. But I suppose a legal thing, you can't just send these through the mail.
Yeah, it was. Oh my gosh! And then of course the recorders, they had a fast forward and a rewind, but you had to hold it. You couldn't like lock it or hit the button. So it's like,
and you know, your pencil doesn't fit in the spokes to go twirl, twirl, twirl to rewind it.
I couldn't just sling it around. Yeah, it was a major pain. And then the problem was, I didn't know how many interviews were on each side. I thought it was one. Well, turns out I missed a couple. So I said, you know what? I put it in the box. I recorded the entire thing and looked at the spectrogram on the
and chopped it up.
Looked at the graph on the thing. And went,
yeah.
There's the beginning. There's the end. There's the beginning, and got it all. But oh my gosh, I wanted to burn it.
Let's finish this up. Video game ROM cartridges. We talked about those earlier. Zip discs. I do not have any of those. Betamax.
I do, by the way.
I have no Betamax.
We don't have time for me to dig it out, but I got.
Yes, one. I have some VHS still around that I need to transfer to.
Yes, digital. You know what I actually still have? I still have Star Wars on VHS.
Oh boy.
Actually, I had to apologize to one of my friends today on Facebook because I went to get my Star Wars DVDs out.
Yeah.
And there was the VHS tapes. We don't have any more movies on VHS, except for those. And I have them because I haven't seen him in a long time, and I intended to give him to him at some point. So today I was like, you know what? I'm going to at least apologize to him for having them so long.
Whoops.
Yeah.
With interest.
Like, and he goes, I don't remember giving those out.
Well, so, then they're mine, I guess.
Yeah. eBay.
All right, that takes us to the end of the show. We do appreciate you listening and sitting through this whole thing, maybe in one sitting, maybe not. If you like the show, there are many ways to show your love. You can call the listener line. We haven't heard from you in a while. 206-222-CHAT. That's 206-222-2428. Yes, I tested it, and yes, it still works. Email us at technorama@chuckchat.com. We do have some good suggestions. Remember our old retro show we did in 2005? Yes. Well, we've had a suggestion to do a future show and do our own prognosticating and see how that turns out. So maybe we'll time travel 10 to 20 years in the future and still say the ET video game sucks.
Yeah. I predict my microphone will produce ice cream at some point.
And be IP addressable. Yes.
Ping my ice cream.
You can find us on Twitter and Facebook and all that other good stuff over at the website, chuckchat.com/technorama. You can also, we want to thank you for listening to the show. Thank Mad Marv for the blog content. Who else are we thanking? It sounds like the Academy Awards at this point.
Yeah, I want to thank my family.
And my parents. And those who drove me from the hotel to the airport.
A quick mention, if you didn't see it on our Facebook or our website, we're 9 years old now. This is year 10.
We are in our 10th year. Oh, boy. Now we get to wear the big boy pants. Hey, if you're getting this, tell a friend about Technorama. They'll look at you funny for a while, but then they'll love you for it. So do that. And until next time, give me a binary high five.
101. 101.
That'll do, pig. That'll do.